the experience at TB12, being around such high profile people like Tom and Alex, especially Tom, who truly is a global icon at this point. It's interesting because by the time I got here, they're 4 or 5 years into it. And you don't even have to know Tom Brady to know that he's probably not an incredibly patient person when it comes to his quest for success, right? I mean, he's very focused on achieving it and he's far along in his career. So I'm always dodging and playing the game of patience, right? There's innumerable people in our world who say, you should be a $1 billion company overnight. Like, you should be a $1 billion company. And my experience is just because you want to be a $1 billion company, doesn't mean you will be a $1 billion company. So you gotta do the things right. You have to build the right foundation. You gotta understand what your strategy is. You gotta build the right team. You gotta set the right priorities. And importantly, you have to understand your consumer.
That's how success happens. From Entrepreneur Magazine, my name is Robert Tuckman. I self-funded, built up, and eventually sold 2 businesses to major players in the sports and entertainment industry. And I am fascinated by other entrepreneurial minds and what drives high-achieving people. So on this podcast, we're going to learn what they've learned and what it takes to really succeed. Tom Brady is set to play in his 10th Super Bowl this Sunday at the age of 43. Take it from a diehard Jets fan, there is just no one else like this man alive, or even close. His performance over the years and longevity attributed to his training and wellness habits are legendary. So several years ago, he co-founded TB12 on the belief that everyone can benefit from a smarter, more holistic approach to health and wellness. John Burns happened to be an early client of TB12. A longtime wellness entrepreneur and fitness enthusiast, he ended up at TB12 initially to help rehab a hockey injury. He left as the CEO. Today, through this pandemic, John is leading TB12 into new realms and working on building a $1 billion business one step at a time, taking the company through a pandemic that has not been kind to wellness-related businesses. We sat down with John to discuss his past successes and past failures and the future of TB12 as his partner Tom Brady was busy in Tampa preparing for this week's Super Bowl. I knew John was busy this week, so I had to get right to it with him, asking, how did he end up even at TB12 as being the CEO?
Thanks for having me. It's a great question. It's a very personal one, which is why I love to tell the story. I've been in and around building consumer brands the last 15, 20 years as an investor or CEO. And independent of those activities, back in 2016, I hurt myself playing men's league hockey. So I've always been very, very active. At one point I was racing mountain bikes. I was very active in Spartan Race and boxing and all sorts of different activities. But I was also a hockey player growing up, and I hurt myself playing hockey to the point at which I had a hard time walking the next day. This is back in 2016. And a good friend of mine who happened to at the time work very closely with Tom suggested I go to TB12 in Foxborough. Said they'd do an amazing job of helping people get better from injuries. And so somewhat by chance, I happened to talk to him the day after I got injured. And I went to visit TB12 in Foxborough 2 days after I was injured. And I was pretty severely injured. I had a pulled muscle that resulted in the majority of my upper leg black and blue. And that never happened to me before. And in the course of 2 to 3 weeks, they largely got me better. And I was shocked because I felt like I was staring at a 6-month rehab. And I'll take a long story and shorten it. At the end of the day, I got very, very intrigued by what was happening at TB12. And I thought to myself, there is a great opportunity to bring this unique lifestyle to more people. And I got to meet Alex Guerrero, who is co-founder with TB12 with Tom. Ultimately met Tom. And I think we all shared a vision for what TB12 could be. And I was so passionate about it. And the opportunity arose for me to lead the company. I jumped at it. It's something I was very passionate about from a personal perspective, having had the experience.
Yeah, I love the personal connection and story myself. I'm nearing 50 now, and I'm still playing basketball, working out, exercising. And that's one of the things we marvel at, right? We're right ahead of the Super Bowl. Tom's playing in the Super Bowl. 43, is he now?
Yeah, 43.
Okay. Like, it's incredible. I mean, can you not have a better spokesperson for what you are doing at TB12?
No, you really can. And that's what's amazing. And it's interesting because this particular moment in time that we're in since his move from New England to Tampa is a very special one for a lot of reasons. But I think it's an incredibly special one for us as a company, because one of our biggest challenges, one of my biggest challenges over the last couple of years was helping people understand that TB12 is not just for Tom Brady. It's for people like me and you and thousands of others that we've helped. And we've made a lot of strides doing that as a company, but we have a very unique opportunity now going into the Super Bowl to share those stories, but also to share the story of how, really, not putting words in Tom's mouth, without TB12 and without Alex, Tom would not have accomplished everything he's accomplished. And so he is the best representation of what we can do in probably one of the hardest and most physically demanding sports in the world at an age where, as you said, you know, most people are at this point, they're done playing professional football. Quite amazing. And we're very fortunate to have him as a shining example of what we do.
Yeah. Most people are done doing anything at that age, unfortunately, except for me and you, who probably keep finding ourselves. That's why getting injured. But I've always been so personally story. I am a diehard New York Jets fan. Tom, and having to watch Tom for all those years, I will tell you, this year, it was so enjoyable watching him, because I put on the hat of, I'm close to 50, and here's it. Just, it's the respect you have for what he's done. And I will tell you, though, I got the cookbook that you guys had put out a few years ago, and literally for the last few years, every morning I have one or two of the shakes that he had, because I was like, just in terms of the success you guys have had, it's so incredible. But I want you to talk about the concept behind it, pliability, because a lot of people here listening to our show, they're entrepreneurs. They love to see how this business is thriving. But what is is pliability the base of what TB12 does?
Yeah, it's a big part of it. I think maybe answering that question in a slightly different way, just relative to probably your audience as they're thinking about building businesses. I think any business needs to have its core unique differentiators to really be able to have outsized and sustainable success. And so one of the opportunities / challenges for us over time has been TB12, the business, is really centered around this TB12 method, right? Which is how Tom leads his life. So we're commercializing at some level this approach to Tom's lifestyle, this method, which has many, many components. And in Tom's words, it's not one thing, it's everything, right? So to start, the TB12 method is a holistic approach to performance and recovery, right? And that, how Tom works with Alex on his muscle pliability, which I'll come to, how he has adapted, how he works out functionally for his sport, what he eats, what he drinks, and I think importantly, how he applies a winning mindset. Those are the components of the method. But back to building a business and pliability. Yes, our core fundamental unique differentiator is everything around this notion of muscle pliability. So there are a lot of companies out there, Robert, that are in the protein business. Well, we have protein products, right? And we have really good ones. They taste great. They're efficacious. But is that really a long-term differentiator? Probably not. But this notion of muscle pliability is foundational to not only the method, but to our business as a differentiator. And as a concept, what it has done for Tom, it's allowed him to not only perform at these levels that he's been at, but to recover faster and to be pain-free. So one of the keys to Tom's success is working with Alex and really working on his pliability every day. He gets hit by a 300-pound lineman, right? And his body, his muscles are ready for it. They're soft, they're long, they're elastic, they're fully functioning, right? So they're able to absorb the stress versus, you know, someone like you or me, right? So you're a basketball player, I'm an almost 50 hockey player, right? If we're not moving right, right? And that's how I got hurt when I got to TB12. My body wasn't moving right. And you take a hit the wrong way, the loads aren't getting transferred right in your body. Well, Tom has worked so diligently with Alex for so long on getting his muscles to be pliable and to work well. And again, I'm happy to dive more into pliability, but I don't want to bore you all to death with all the gory details. But it is a core differentiator, and it's what's enabled his success.
Yeah. Now, I want to talk about the business, because you came in to run the business as CEO. And it's a great story. You know, I love that story. It's like, what's his name from Gillette, the old commercials. You know, I love the razors so much.
Victor
Kiam, right. New England, Gillette Stadium. There we go.
Well, your listeners can't see me, but obviously I'm bald. So the one I get a lot is, what was the hair club for men guy?
Yeah, I have that problem too, but I should be running that business. Okay, so you come into this business, right? And they bring you in. And what, you know, at that time, Alex, and obviously Tom's playing and Alex is very involved. But at that point in time for the business, how many years ago was it? And why, what was their reasoning for bringing you in?
Yeah, so the business, I think some context is important for the trajectory and life cycle of the business. So TB12 proper started as a concept in late 2012 between Tom and Alex. And it's a very simple concept, which was them talking about how they could take the things that they learned to other people. And I think as the story goes, I don't want to put words in their mouths, but I think at one point they figured when Tom retired, they would literally go talk at colleges and just tell people and teams about what they've learned. But they had the idea for the business. In 2013, they opened TB12, which was at that time, they called it TB12 Sports Therapy Center here in Foxborough, Massachusetts. It was a smaller footprint, 4-room facility where they would work with, at that point, right out of the gate, a lot of Patriots athletes, but then obviously eventually other people like you and me. And the business kind of grew from there. And Tom's lifestyle evolved as well over over that time. And so the business has grown to include not only the in-person services that we provide, the one-on-one services we provide, but an e-commerce and content business where we try and provide people all around the world the information and tools to educate themselves on the TB12 method, and then ultimately engage with us in products and services to help them lead a healthier, more pain-free life. And so that's been the evolution of the business. And I think, you know, it's interesting. There's a lot of lessons being around TB12, and you know, there's a lot of interesting directions a business conversation could go, but we've got many of the same issues you'd have of building a traditional brand. You've got many of the business related issues in the health and wellness space and how you think about standing out. And then we have this whole other set of issues and opportunities around having a business that is associated with a global icon that, in, you know, in some respect, and particularly this day and age, looking at the Super Bowl, I'll see the news stories, and TB12 is used ubiquitously as almost his nickname as it is the business, right? So you got all that. So I think going to your question, I think they recognize the complexity of all this, right? The complexity of trying to sell a lifestyle, which is very hard, that had multiple components. The complexity of having evolved from a business with a physical presence and then a digital presence. There were media and licensing opportunities. You know, there was a book in 2017. There was a couple different licensing deals. So I think I describe it as, and I think they would as well, they sort of unknowingly became entrepreneurs and business owners, and they had success. And so part of bringing me in, I think, was an opportunity to align everything for a more methodical and strategic growth into the future. And obviously an opportunity to impact more and more people and more of our customers and make a positive change. You know, we're a commercial enterprise. I always remind people of that, but we're also guided by another principle of really trying to make people's lives better and change them and make them healthier. So we're always balancing those two things. And so I think Tom and Alex realized 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, that this thing had taken on a life of its own. You know, it's time to bring in a little help.
Yeah. You know, I love the story, because I also love the fact, like, if you weren't playing hockey, didn't get injured that night, you know, where's your life? You've obviously been super successful in the wellness, but just because of that injury and how this happens, now you're sitting here as CEO of this amazing, incredible wellness business, like you said, owned by or co-owned by an icon, right? And it's just incredible to me how sometimes in life things like that work out. And, you know, I want to touch on that. You said these guys were not entrepreneurs, or at least weren't, you know, in the sense doing that full time. And when you came into the business and saw it, what were some of those first things that you saw that you were kind of like, okay, we need to structure this? Or, you know, how well had the business been run up until that point? I don't want to put you in a bad spot, but realistically, what was it that you saw that you had to, like, let's make these changes?
Yeah, that's a great question. And, you know, I've never been a part of a business on either side, either as CEO or investor board member, where a new leader comes in and doesn't say, look at all the problems, right? Because, you know, you want to be the one, look at everything's broken, I'll fix it, right? So I tend to stay away from that. It's not my style. So I think they did a lot of things right before I got here. But like any other business, there was a lot of opportunities for improvement. And I think we focused on a few things right out of the gate. The first is, if you think about how the business grew, I describe it as this business grew with a lot of Tom, you shoulds. Tom, you should do a book. Tom, you should get into the e-commerce business. Tom, you should do this. Tom. And so they were all things that we should have done, right? Or could do is probably a better way to say it. But I might have done it at a different time and a different staging and a different priority. So I think the first thing we did was just kind of rethink, what are the priorities? Like, that was important. The other thing is focused very, very heavily on the team and really making sure we started bringing in the right people, not only within the management team, but also just thinking through kind of board and governance and things like that. So I think any CEO, to be successful, you've got to have a strong and supportive board as well. And then I think there was, you know, a host of other issues that we had to focus on pretty quickly, including how do we want to think about the brand relative to Tom? Is TB12 Tom Brady, or are they separate and how do the two interact? It's a bunch of brand related issues. And then, of course, which is, you know, not uncommon for most businesses, setting a series of operation and execution oriented systems and processes in place to make sure information's flowing well, decision making can be done in an informed way, things of that nature. So I'd say, you know, those three or four things right out of the gate were the key ones.
Yeah. Looking at the brand, right? And TB12, right? Everyone, like you just said, there's articles this week, Tom's, you know, he's playing in the Super Bowl, TB12, that's his nickname, right? Now it's also Tampa Bay. I mean, that's just probably another little thing that's thrown in. It's a hassle. But how do you take, and is it priority to take this from TB12 and everyone thinking Tom, to TB12 and everyone's thinking this business?
Yeah, I think, you know, I'm biased. I have a horse in the race here, if you will. And I think I would advocate for TB12 being known as the business. I'll never completely get that at this point because it's almost, I'm dating myself a little bit, but you'll certainly remember we're the same vintage, you know, a tissue and Kleenex. It's like the, you know, the Kleenex was a tissue. You knew that if you were from a certain age, right? And so there's a little bit of that going on. But our goal, and you'll see if you look at our marketing the last few months, but particularly right around the last few weeks, going into the next few weeks, we're trying to tell the story of Tom, but focus on the other people. We've got some creative assets in market. TB12 is for you. And we're trying to tell the stories of everyday people that look like you and me, who we've been able to help. And so I think that's really the key thing is for us helping people understand that Tom's the muse, Tom's the example of it. But at the end of the day, as a company, TB12 and TB12, the brand, it's about helping everyday people, not necessarily professional athletes.
And it's interesting, the conflict and how good it could be that Tom is this doing so well and at his age. And then also you're creating a brand that eventually and now has already been is bigger than just Tom, right? And it's an interesting way to look at it, especially nowadays in this space. And I wanted to ask you, you guys had started expanding. I was always hoping you guys were going to put something here in New York City. I'm still hoping. In fact, I think I actually even may have left, or probably did, or sent an email or voicemail to Alex about, and this is when I was drinking the shakes like religiously a few years ago, about getting a TB12 in New York City. But how have your plans and how has everything changed with the pandemic?
Yeah, it's something we're all living with, right? And it's, you know, a very, very real issue for everyone, both personally, but also in their professional lives. And I think just going back to my business experience and my background, I've been very fortunate to be a part of some great brands and great companies. But behind some of that success and some of those opportunities was a deeply held belief I had that you need to find the big macro trends. What are the big macro trends that are undeniable, especially for someone like me who's traveled the better part of the last 15, 20 years in the branded consumer space, right? Where you're subject to economic dislocation and changes, you're subject to fads and different things. So I've always focused on the trends. And so I think going back to your question specifically, why that's important, I think what COVID has done for us and our business, it has accelerated already existing trends. And at some level, compressed time and space. So I'll give you an example or two. Undeniable that health and wellness has been a trend the last 15, 20 years. I think everyone gets that. But it's been a very fitness-driven trend. There's always the diet and nutrition world as well, too, but it's been a very fitness-driven trend. I have always believed, and it was part of my original experience back in 2016 with TB12, that eventually we're going to get to a point that people realize being fit's important, but truly being healthy is more important. And I think, you know, I don't want to speak for all of your listeners or you or anyone, but I have not met someone in the last 6 months that doesn't truly appreciate and understand the importance of health now. So I think that helps us, right? So it gets people more focused on what we're doing, right? And you look at Tom where he is today. I think one of the things I see a lot in the press right now is, I mean, people just, you can just tell he's healthy. Like he's a healthy guy, right? And so I think it's compressed that. The other thing I think, which is undeniable, and this has been impacting all businesses for, at this point, most of my entire career, is the impact of technology and how does technology impact what we're doing? And I have believed for some time, and I'm not alone, I don't think, in this belief, that obviously technology was going to transform the wellness space, fitness, all that stuff at some level. But I think, again, what COVID did is that's forced us to make that all happen more quickly. So we have two pieces to our business. As I said, we have this content and e-commerce business, then we have this physical in-person services business. We had to shut down for a period of time that part of our business. And while we had a technology roadmap that would suggest here's all the things we're going to do strategically from a vision standpoint over 3 or 4 years, most none of which had been started in a meaningful way as of last February or March, in the space of 3 weeks, we stood up a series of virtual offerings. So now you can work with a TB12 body coach anywhere in the world, and they will coach you up on how to be more healthier and the things you can do at home. We still have a few limitations doing that. We can't physically put our hands on your bodies to do the manual therapy, which is part of the magic. But again, there's a technology solution there eventually. So I think for us, it's brought more attention to being healthy. And I think it's really brought forward this need to be a more tech-savvy, tech-enabled organization, at least from the services part of our business.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I think, you know, and from some of the people I've even had on this show over the course of the pandemic who are in the wellness space, it's really amazing because I've found that I look personally, I have a trainer, I work with a trainer twice a week, and we have not met in person, but we've still been doing it for the past, since the pandemic started, right? Almost a year. And it's interesting because I'm in a tiny little gym in my apartment building. We're not using the same, and I'm getting, but I'm a firm believer that yes, there's technology is needed. But for me, I think it's going to be, and you tell me, I'm a true believer in being there. And especially, I'm sure, with what you guys do. But, and I do think it's going to come back. And I think it's going to come back stronger because now more and more people are focused on wellness, right? After this. But for you guys and your plans, has the pandemic changed any of those plans? And were there plans to expand the physical presence of TB12?
Yeah, I think like all things, you're always adapting, right? And I'm an entrepreneur at heart. And I believe very strongly, based on the sum total of my experiences, that you always need to be testing and learning. And importantly, you always need to be failing. If you don't fail, you'll never know that you pushed the limits. And for us, when I first got here, we had a small to modest e-commerce business. And we had one physical facility in Foxborough, Massachusetts. And I believed very strongly, and I know Tom did, as did Alex, we needed to open another facility at a minimum in the center of Boston. So a major metropolitan market, a flagship location. So we did that. And we have an 11,000 square foot flagship in the center of Boston, which was great. And if I go back 2 years now, I would tell you very candidly, we said, yeah, you know what? We're probably going to do this in 10 cities, 12 cities, because we'll plant flags, we'll let people know what we're all about. And we can do a lot with you remotely, and we can educate you a lot online, and we can sell you products and whatnot. But it's harder for us to change your life unless we see you in person. So it's an important part of our experience. So at that point in time, you know, we thought a little bit more about flagships around the country well before the pandemic, just as entrepreneurs would. As I looked at it and thought about it, I realized we didn't necessarily need all of that, but we did need a physical presence in many places. So prior to the pandemic, we were looking at adapting our model a little bit to smaller centers. So a couple thousand square feet and or in partnership. So back to what you're saying before, and this will come back. I was in New York quite a bit talking to a handful of different potential partners about co-locating TB12s. And so we did a couple things. We did a location with the Four Seasons in Boston, as an example. And again, that opened shortly before the pandemic started. So that obviously the time frame of that changed. So I think our plans have changed since I started here for two reasons. One is just as an entrepreneur and as you test and learn and understand what works or doesn't and what the opportunity is, we decided we were going to adapt to smaller locations and co-located opportunities. And then, of course, the pandemic hit. And I think the reality of it is, until the real estate markets reset, which they seem to be doing now, there was no real reason to aggressively expand with bricks and mortars. But we did open this past year, a facility in Tampa. And we are out looking, and that's a smaller facility in the likes of what I said earlier. It's actually a little smaller, call it 1,300, 1,500 square feet. We're out looking for some more of those again now too. So we will continue to selectively expand our in-person services.
What do you think, as someone who's been so involved in the wellness industry and knows so much, for the industry itself, how do you see this coming back? And I'll be a little bit more direct. and I'm very curious. Like for today, I'm going to the gym right after this work. There's going to be, it's a gym across the street here, Equinox, Reebok Club, hundreds of people in there at a time. I go in there right now and literally there's probably about 15 people. What do you think about all the, you know, some of these people I've heard about Peloton and I'm not going back to the gym. What do you think really, and I'm saying, look 2 years down the road, like what's your thoughts on how this industry morphs in 2 years?
Yeah, that's the $1 million question, right? And everyone has an opinion. I'll tell you one thing I've learned in my career. It's very hard to change consumer behavior, right? So if you want to be successful, either as a CEO or an investor, whatever you're doing, you better understand your consumer's behavior, right? Because it's hard to change. The reality of it is this event was a rare black swan, if you will, to change people's behavior, right? And I think it has gone on long enough, new habits have been formed. So if I take my emotions out of it and everything that I might personally feel about what I would like to do as a, you know, fitness enthusiast myself, I think there will end up being a balance, right? I think you can't lose sight of the fact that humans are social creatures and there's some element of community, right? That's important. And having been going to gyms my whole life, I'm married 22 years, but there's a certain social dating element to going to gyms as well. And, you know, you mentioned an Equinox, so their brand is, you know, it's interesting, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Play into that a little bit, right? So There's going to be the community social element of it that I think at some point, a certain subset of the people will gravitate back to. On the other hand, from a consumer behavior standpoint, I believe very, very strongly in people's preference for convenience. And, you know, everything that you use your smartphone for and whatnot, or I use, you know, CVS and Walgreens as great examples. That's why there's one on every corner, sometimes one on each corner.
Yeah.
Because people just want convenience, right? And the thing that this has changed from a consumer behavior standpoint is you now have the ability to interact with your trainer in the gym in your apartment building. You don't need to get your coat on and go get cold or wet or whatever to go. You also probably, if you're like most people, and I can tell you there's a lot of people that do it because we sell some of the products. There's a lot of people that have outfitted home gyms right now.
Yeah.
And it's a lot easier to go to your spare bedroom or to go to your basement and work out for 25 minutes when you have a busy schedule than it is to go to the gym. So I think what you're going to find is physical fitness facilities, gyms, places like that will continue to exist. They will not, unlike what has happened with big box retail, they will shrink in size, right? So you look at all the Best Buys out there and Barnes and Nobles, and they don't need that much space anymore. They're all trying to figure out ways to shrink. I think something similar will happen in fitness because there will still be a subset of the population that wants to have that communal experience, that social experience, and also candidly, like probably like you'd like get out of the house a couple times a week.
Yeah.
The other time you're going to want to just make it easy. Right?
Yeah.
Do it in your house.
I think it could be a hybrid. Look, I'm a community guy. I'm a gym rat. I mean, you guys being up in Boston, I went to school up there and I remember I worked out at Gold's Gym on Lansdowne Street for like every day. I don't even know if it's still there, but that was back in the, you know, just a gym's a gym. But now even doing more classes and there's a lot of boutique stuff. And I really miss that community aspect of it. And I like some friends, they could just jump on their Peloton and be like, but I like, that's why I'm going to a gym now with wearing masks, like just to go with not a lot of people there. But I wanted to go back to the brand TB12. And what was really interesting to me, and I think you're dead on in terms of what you said, it's more about, talk to me more how it's more about overall wellness. Like, I don't know if it's just the age we're at or if it's, but for me, I've always thought like that's real health and wellness, you know, going from the gym where you're just doing like bench press and bicep curls to like now where you really want people want to really fully take care of themselves. And how have you seen that those trends emerge?
Yeah, I think that's, to me, as I was saying before, that's the future where this goes. And one of the things I'm most excited about for us here at TB12, I think we're at a really, really great intersection of sort of the medical and healthcare community and the fitness community. So our body coaches, who are the people that you'd work with one-on-one, are a combination of PhDs in physical therapy and licensed master's athletic trainers, right? So these are highly credentialed people, right? And they're at the end of the day, they're healthcare providers, they're service providers. But we apply their skill sets in a unique way at this intersection of healthcare delivery and fitness. So I sometimes refer to it as like medical fitness, if you will. And why I think it matters, and we talked briefly on, I think COVID accelerated some people thinking about it. I believe most people get to a point where they don't want to be in pain. They want to do what they want to do, right? Whether that's ride a bike or throw a ball with your kid or go to the gym and work out. Or if you're Tom Brady, play football in the NFL. Like, you want to do what you want to do and you don't want to be in pain and you want to perform well. Like, you know, I think one thing that's happened the last 15, 20 years with health and wellness is I think there's also the whole social element to that. I was involved in building Spartan Race, and there's all these different endurance related businesses where people are competing. Like, there's an element of performance for a lot of people too, right? Like, you want to win your basketball games. Like, you're not out there to lose, right? So the nice thing for us is there's this unique intersection. Again, I call it medical fitness, where you've got people who want to perform their best and they want to be pain-free. And there's more information out there now to know that you don't have to be in pain all the time. You don't have to like be the last guy on the run every time. Like, there are things that you can do to perform better. And that's what we're trying to do. That's the message we're trying to deliver to people and how we're trying to make people's lives a little better.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. I think for me and for many people, it's people are living longer, but you want to be healthy. You want to, like, I want to be able to participate in sports. I want to be able to, whatever it might be, like you just said. And if you don't take care of everything and you can't just do old school, like, you know, I'm going to go lift weights or whatever it might be. And I think that's one of the beautiful things about health and wellness industry and what's taking place and what you guys are really leading the charge in nowadays, which is great.
More from our guests, but first, a word from our sponsors.
Trying to find a way to stand out to your customers or make your employees feel extra valued? You trust Uber as a way to request rides and order meals from restaurants you love. But did you know about Uber's platform designed specifically for businesses? Over 160,000 companies use Uber for Business to improve customer and employee satisfaction. Want to make your customers love your business even more? Offer them a voucher for a free meal or ride when they make their first purchase or spend a certain amount. Any company can sign up for free and immediately start delivering extra value to the people who matter most to their business. Vouchers are simple to send and to redeem. Right now, Uber for Business is offering companies a $50 voucher credit when you spend your first $200 with vouchers. Go to uber.com/successpod to learn more. That's uber.com/successpod for a $50 voucher credit. uber.com/successpod. Terms and conditions apply.
And our next sponsor.
Ping Identity is the leader in enterprise identity security. Ping champions the unique identity of enterprises so the world's largest organizations can deliver secure digital experiences to their employees and customers around the world. The Chief Identity Champion, or CIC, is the embodiment of Ping's identity's personality and values. The CIC is a coach, a cheerleader, and a champion of identity security, eager to elevate Ping Identity customers and help them flourish in a digital economy. Ping champions identity so that the world's largest organizations can deliver more secure, extraordinary digital experiences to their employees and customers around the world. So, we all know everyone has had a bad experience as an employee signing on to multiple applications and spending way too much time with IT resetting passwords. Everyone's had a bad customer experience, where a website or application doesn't remember your information and you have to re-enter it multiple times or sign on several times. Oh my God, this literally happens to me on a daily basis. I know my IT department at my company definitely hates me, but these are the types of experiences that Ping Identity makes awesome. So let identity security set you free. In today's digital business world, you can't have security slow you down. With Ping Identity, your business is secure and agile. Make lovable digital experiences. With Ping Identity, you can make lovable digital experiences that keep your customers secure and coming back for more. Work securely, productively, anywhere. Want your employees to be productivity rock stars? With Ping Identity, you can help them securely access everything they need to get the job done without passwords, even on the road. Ping Identity, identity security for the global enterprise. I consider Ping the champions of enterprise identity security. So check out pingidentity.com. That's pingidentity.com. And we're back. So coming out of, let's say, this and pandemic, what's the main focus going to be for the business?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I think a couple things. And I think it's important as an entrepreneur and a CEO and a business leader to have a plan, have a set of priorities, but be willing to adapt your priorities and to change. You can't do it on a daily or weekly basis necessarily, but you better be looking at it pretty frequently. And I think, again, COVID has afforded us the opportunity to do that a little bit. So we're focusing on a few things, just really a small handful of things that I think are those that matter. One, from a commercial standpoint, if you will. One is we have effectively, in our minds, perfected the training, education, and then deployment of TB12 body coaches. We've done it repeatable. We do it at an excellent level. We know it from talking to our consumers. So we are going to focus on expanding the reach of our body coaches. And we're going to do it in, I would say, three ways. One is we'll continue to look for some of these small TB12 owned locations where we can deploy TB12 body coaches. The second way will be with some partnerships, some co-location partnerships, where we would again deploy TB12 body coaches in unique situations. Let's say one of the gyms maybe like that you were talking about. And then the third, and this is very important to us, and this is very important to Tom and Alex because of the scale of the impact they want to have. We're going to launch in May a TB12 affiliate certification program where if you're an allied health professional, you're a PT provider, a chiro, someone like that, we're going to certify people in the TB12 method and approach so they can become affiliate body coaches. And that'll, you know, allow people who are entrepreneurial and interested in it to become TB12 body coaches. So that's how we're going to grow our body coach business, our services business. And then from an e-commerce and content business, we're just going to continue to put forward educational content on how people can be healthier and understand the TB12 method and support folks with the tools to do that. Largely in and around what I would consider to be the nutrition type products. So for us, proteins, supplements, electrolytes, and then probably things like, you know, protein bars and snacks and stuff like that.
I told you your shakes, I like, they taste good. And I'm always drinking every morning. I'm like, if Tom Brady's drinking this, like basically this is, literally every, you know, it's amazing. Some of the products I was blown away by when I first started for having, cause I didn't think they were going to taste great, tasted great. And were totally, totally healthy, which was good.
Yeah. One of the things I learned, just on that note, one of the things I've learned over time and been fortunate again to have had some success in a few things, particularly in the food industry. And taste trumps everything when it comes to what you eat. And so when we developed our plant-based protein, we were hyper-focused on taste. Obviously, efficaciousness is important and nutrition profile is important, but we were maniacal about taste for that reason. It matters.
Yeah, listen, it got me, I mean, geez, for that many years, I've been drinking them. I want to, the wellness, fitness, this whole industry has been turned upside down. You just told me a lot of your plans coming up. I'm really curious and honestly want you to answer, prior to last March, prior to COVID, how much of what you kind of just gave me for the outlay of the company and brand was what you were planning on doing pre-COVID?
Yeah, I think most of it was on the radar. I think from a products and e-commerce standpoint, 100%, that's been the plan for 2 years. And actually, if you went back and looked at everything we've introduced starting about 3 or 4 months after I got here, it's been the path we're on. So that's been my vision for our products from the very beginning. Relative to our body coach services, I think the one thing that's changed, and candidly, it started a little bit before COVID, we realized we didn't necessarily need to build 10,000 square foot facilities all over the place because We just don't need that much space. So we started looking at the idea of smaller locations and whatnot and partner locations. I think what COVID has done is increased my conviction beyond a reasonable doubt that that is the right path. Yeah. So I want to acknowledge that. And I think the other thing too, which COVID has done, we always thought about, is there a way you could franchise TB12 or license TB12 or do certifications? But it wasn't on our radar this soon. And so the other thing we did with COVID is we pulled that way forward, recognizing that there's a lot of health professionals out there who are going to need to work to grow their business, looking for new ways, capitalize on people's focus on truly being healthy and getting out of pain. So that's one where I would have said, you know, it was on the radar, it was on the map. But it wasn't clear where it was on the map. And we pulled it forward and we had all the knowledge. We have all the information because we do it anyway. We hire a TB12 coach. We train them.
Yeah.
So what we did during COVID last year to make it a valuable year and worth our time, we codified it all. We set the programs up to do it at scale. And so that's one that certainly COVID helped us pull forward.
Yeah, sure. It's amazing, you know, when you look at it, how much you probably saved the business in terms of not going out, signing major leases. And like, that could have like, you know, when I see so many friends who I know who own boutique fitness studios or trainers, or the trainers have been for the most part okay because they're doing a lot of virtual, but so many people I know from in the fitness space and like just the real estate and the cost, it's just crushing right now. And it's, for me, I just hope these people can make it back. And do you think that a lot of them, the boutiques in the world, are they going to be able to rebound from this? Have they been able to survive?
I think it's going to be a mixed bag. So I think there's two things to touch on here as you're asking a question. There's the broader what's happening with the boutique fitness. And then I want to come back to TB12 and our real estate strategy, because I think there's some important lessons there. I think in general for the boutique fitness world, or fitness in general, I think the bigger gyms will get smaller. There's still going to be a place for them, but they're not going to need all that space, and or they're going to have a need to become more like wellness hubs where, you know, other things get incorporated into what they do. But, you know, you're not going to need gyms with 100 treadmills go forward, in my opinion. Like, I think that the world has changed away from that. For the boutique gyms, yeah, I think they'll carve out a niche because, again, I think the community aspect is there. And that's a really, really passionate group of consumers. Again, the thing I worry about for the boutique fitness community is just a frequency issue, right? Because now we've got a lot of people who have changed their behavior, who are conditioned to not go. I'm not picking on any one of them, but let's say Barry's Bootcamp. Like, they don't need to go to Barry's Bootcamp 5 days a week now, because guess what? They've bought a bunch of stuff to do at home. They like doing it. It's convenient, but they'll still go to Barry's Bootcamp maybe 1 day a week, 2 days a week. So I think there'll be a little adjustment there. You know, I had some context too, because Spartan Race for us, when we built that, that was all about not being in the gym, right?
Yeah.
It was like, pick up a heavy bucket of rocks, right? And carry it. Like, that's a hard thing to do, but it'll get you fit. So I've seen that. So that's that. On our side, I want to just mention briefly relative to the real estate and whatnot. Again, I think COVID had an impact on perspective, but more conviction than anything. Having been involved in a lot of businesses, I think the thing that ultimately ended up, I'll say, not saving us, but helping us, because we didn't enter a lot of leases pre-COVID. Well, I got here in like August of 18 with, again, one of my top priorities was trying to find a flagship for us. I waited until I found what I thought was exactly the right spot. It was really hard to be patient, especially for Tom and Alex, because they'd already been at it for 5 years.
Yeah.
But we opened an amazing facility on what I will call the 50-yard line of the Back Bay of Boston at the Marathon finish line on Boston Street. And it's an amazing location, but it was a labor of love and it took a lot of work. And it was our second location, and I'd done enough stuff to know that we needed, I was all over the country, by the way, looking for leases come the fall of 2019, but I wasn't committing because I knew I needed 6 months at least in Boylston Street to really know what another place would be like and what I could commit to. And again, a little bit of luck, maybe some experience, some luck. COVID hit within that 6 months. I had not committed to anything. And therefore, we had the flexibility to get through it, which has been fortunate because a lot of other companies have not had that benefit.
Yeah. I know you mentioned Spartan Race, and I know Joe DeSena. In fact, we once had a meeting here in New York, and he came into the meeting and he was holding, I think it was a kettlebell. He had a kettlebell that he was taking all over. I loved him because, as you could tell, I've been involved prior to this at Creative Artist Agency a lot in the wellness and this space. And he's just such an interesting guy. How, in terms of looking at wellness and some of the Spartan race, the Ironmans, like, I see those coming back. Do you see those coming back? I think, is that just a timing issue? Or do you think there's going to be a hit to those businesses?
I do. I think it's a timing issue more than anything. I do think the unknown, and it's not about a 10,000 person Spartan race in my mind. It's more the thing I don't have the answer to. I don't know if people are going to go back to movie theaters and packed movie theaters or packed restaurants, right?
I was just having that conversation with someone yesterday about everything else, but movie theaters. Movie theaters and Broadway theaters.
So like Spartan Race, you know, it's interesting. I've been around Iron Man a long time too, and Spartan Race, and like, you know, I was with Joe for 7 years. I just got off his board.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Years ago now. And, you know, when we started together, he had like six races maybe.
Yeah.
A few. And we were doing hundreds around the world when I left. And, you know, he'll tell you almost a million people. And I think it's such a passionate community, and he's done such a nice job of building the brand and the passionate community that they'll come back. I just think race weekend, race days are going to change a little bit, right? You're not going to have, like, one of the things we did, one of my ideas early on there was like, shit, these are cool, these races. What if we did them in cool locations? So we came up with this idea of a stadium race. And the first one we did was in Fenway Park.
Yeah. Citi Field.
Citi Field and out in Milwaukee and kind of around the country. We started doing them. And,
great idea.
Yeah, when we first did it at Fenway, we're doing the race at Fenway, and you got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people queued up going out 5, 6, 7 at a time. And it's an amazing experience. I don't know that the world's going to be ready for that in 2021, but the races will live on in some fashion. So, you know, Joe's a super creative guy. His partner there now, Jeff's a great operator, and they'll figure something out to get those races off. If you know anything about Joe, he's going to find a way.
He's determined, man. He is determined, dude. But I will say, it's great to talk to you. And what I got out, the great thing about, it's funny for our listeners, like sometimes you're rushing, you want to build a business. And the fact you held back for a little bit, really, I stress it again, could have saved the business, because real estate and those costs, that's why restaurants are suffering now. That's why all these gyms, I mean, like, if you want one way to bury a business, it's to go sign leases that you're on the hook for. And fortunately, it sounds like, you know, you guys dodged that bullet there. And that's really been able to kind of keep you guys going during this time.
I think the other thing too, we have a very unique thing, and, you know, not enough hours in the day to talk about all the lessons and things here at TV12. But this is, again, I've been fortunate. Been partners with some great people, been a part of some great businesses, run some great businesses, invested in some great businesses. I've had my share of failures too, which have informed a lot of things, which is great. But the experience at TB12, being around such high profile people like Tom and Alex, you know, especially Tom, who truly is a global icon at this point. It's interesting because by the time I got here, they're 4 or 5 years into it, right? And you don't even have to know Tom Brady to know that he's probably not an incredibly patient person when it comes to his quest for success, right? I mean, he's very focused on achieving it and he's far along in his career. So I'm always dodging and playing the game of patience, right? There's innumerable people in our world who, you know, say you should be a $1 billion company overnight. Like, you should be a $1 billion company. And my experience is just because you want to be a $1 billion company doesn't mean you will be a $1 billion company. So you got to do the things right. You have to build the right foundation. You got to understand what your strategy is. You got to build the right team. You got to set the right priorities. And importantly, you have to understand your consumer. And it takes time to really and truly understand your consumer. And so we've been on a journey the last 2 years to do most of those things. Obviously, COVID was a giant curveball. Yeah. But yeah, we've battled through it. And I think unfortunately, there's a lot of companies that are going to come out a lot worse from COVID. That's just the unfortunate reality. And then there's a subset of companies, and I think we're in this group, that we're going to come out stronger. Maybe not a lot bigger, right? We kind of battled through like everyone else, right? But we're going to come out a lot stronger, a lot clearer, a lot greater clarity on what we want to do and be. And that's going to serve us well. So I think we're going to try and turn this COVID experience into a positive catalyst for this company. So 3 years from now, we're even better than we thought we could have been before COVID.
Yeah, you know, I love that. And I love what you said about failure and needing that, because being an entrepreneur myself and building some businesses, I learned the most, you know, it was going through the hardest times, the most difficult times where we made mistakes or just things didn't work out. That's really such a key to me. And I'm curious if it's one of your things, and probably is because you've been talking about it, but just the fact to learn from those mistakes and to grow from them, to pick yourself off the mat and make changes. And I love hearing what you're saying now. You just went through one of the craziest things that could disrupt your industry and still going through it. But you have this mindset of, I'm going to take what we learned from that and we're going to be better.
Yeah, I think that's important. And I really deeply believe that you need to be, as an entrepreneur, you need to be committed to learning. You need to be humble, right? And I can tell you probably more than anyone in the world, when you're, you know, in business with people like Tom and Alex and everything you do is very public, it's hard to have the courage to be willing to fail and to make a mistake because everyone sees it and everyone tells everyone, right? So
yeah, it's a huge target.
Yeah, it's a certain muscle you have to develop as an entrepreneur. And I've had an opportunity to grow that muscle in an outsized fashion here at TB12. But, you know, it's key. And I think if you focus on learning from your mistakes and learning from your failures and quickly applying those lessons, they're invaluable. I think the mistake I've seen people make is they'll make a mistake and then they make the same mistake. And then they make the same mistake again. Like, again, I go back to somewhat fortuitous. You know, I knew I'd been involved in enough things that I knew when we opened on Boylston Street in Boston, I knew A, it would take a really long time to find other locations. So I needed to start that. So I was out running around the country looking for spaces. But as urgently as I was doing that, I was balancing it with knowing I can't commit to anything for 6 months because I got to have some facts. And had I not had some failures and mistakes in the past, we'd have had 4 more leases and we'd be a very different company today. And so again, it wasn't all COVID. I mean, COVID changed it a little bit, but those decisions happened out of experiences and learnings from the past.
Yeah. And you know what? Continuing with your plans, it might be such a big blessing and coming out stronger where there'll be in a lot of places, you know, cheaper lease deals. And, you know, like you look at some, we had the founder, CEO, Warby Parker, and they were expanding during COVID because they've always wanted to have a retail presence, even though they're omni-channel or more of one. And it was like, okay, well, now is an opportune time, you know, to speed that up. And you guys coming out of this, you know, if that's part of the plan, it could be a double win. But you know, I wanted to thank you for coming on. I know these are a busy couple of weeks with everything going on and Tom and the Super Bowl. And are you a New England Patriot? Were you a Patriots fan before you joined TB12?
Yeah, I was. So now, since you were, you know, you confessed to being a Jets fan.
Yeah.
I'll make a public confession here that I probably haven't made. I'm originally from Connecticut, New York. I grew up a Giants fan.
Okay.
I've been in Boston for 30 years.
Okay.
And I long ago became a Patriots fan. And I've been very fortunate to live not far from here for a long time. So it was a part of Tom's rise with the Patriots and that dynasty. So you can't have lived around here for as long as I have and not be a Patriot.
I know. I was like, I just got out of town before, well, not just, unfortunately, but before Tom came on the scene. But you know, it is really amazing, as I said, watching him and going to the Super Bowl and such respect and admiration, just what you were talking about, because it's about how he takes care of himself and the methods he uses. And now at that age, you know, where I want the same thing, and I think a lot of people do, and I think that's the reason that TB12 needs to, like you said, to expand, I mean, internet throughout the world and internationally. And it sounds like they're lucky to have you on the team, and I want to say thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I really appreciated the opportunity to share our story.
Yeah, and good luck with your guys' podcast, right? You guys just launched a podcast?
Yeah, we just launched. A few weeks ago, we just had our third episode come out this week. It's been great for us, an opportunity to share stories of really interesting people, both world-class champion athletes to world-leading scientists, to folks who have just amazing stories that sort of resonate with what we do, and opportunity for us to share with people a little bit more about the ways that they can lead a little healthier and more pain-free life.
Yeah, I love it. Best of luck, and thanks again, John.
Yeah, thanks very much. Nice talking to you.
And that's our episode. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to How Success Happens wherever you get your podcasts. We come out with a new episode every Wednesday morning, and you don't want to miss it. And if you like to share, please feel free to pass along the show to an entrepreneur friend who could use a boost, and I could always use the subscribers. And do you have ideas for guests? I always love to hear about great entrepreneurs. If you know anyone, shoot me an email at hsh@entrepreneur.com. Or on Twitter @Robert Tuckman, that's ROBERT TUCHMAN, or even send me a message on LinkedIn. How Success Happens is a production of Entrepreneur Media. Be sure to visit entrepreneur.com for insight on building your business, or even better yet, subscribe to our magazine. No joke, I found my first job after reading about a company in Entrepreneur Magazine back in the 1990s. It's always been my absolute favorite magazine for entrepreneurs. Thanks for listening and spending some time with me today. Until next time, my name is Robert Tuckman, just a fellow entrepreneur and your host. See you soon.